You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build the social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I have a guest that you are absolutely going to get off this episode and just so excited about diving in into who you authentically are, because Michelle is just known for being somebody in not only the coaching circles that she's part of, but also with anybody that follows her, as someone that is really leading the way and just known for being 100% unapologetically herself. So Michelle moved from being a corporate climber, working 80 hours a week as an overly educated mom of three, to becoming an online wellness influencer. She launched her own business called Sweaty Betty Fitness in 2016 to work with clients virtually as a health and fitness coach. And then she launched the Sweaty Betty Sisterhood. And she does all of this from the comfort of her PJs and her laptop. I'm just guessing, I'm throwing that in there. From Port Alberni with her husband of 13 years. And I am super excited to dig into Michelle's story, because I think that there's a lot of us out there that maybe pull back in being ourselves online. And Michelle is going to break it down on exactly how to do that and build a tribe of raving fans. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me. It is such an honor to be here. And as a person to person, I admire you so much. And every time I listen to you, I'm like, man, this woman's a powerhouse. So I'm really honored to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, I'm so pumped to have you. So I want to start off by talking about your story, because obviously you went from a place of working in corporate and working for billable hours and salary hours to actually, in a sense, retire and do something completely different. So talk to us a little bit about how that all began.
From when I was actually a young kid, I remember clear memories of being told I was smart and being told I was academic. And I remember getting on the honor roll as a young kid. And I remember my parents showing off my report cards to my grandparents. I remember being paid for my grades. I remember getting money for it. And I remember so many times as a young kid, being known for that, Michelle's the achiever of the family. I come from a family of three kids and I was the middle kid, and I just always did my best. I always put in my best effort when I was doing things. And when you're a young kid, all you really have really is school, other than sports and stuff, right? There's not a lot outside of that. And if you're the kind of person that just loves to give it your all and you're just naturally that's just ingrained in me, that's what I became known for. And so it became very unconsciously scripted in me that I was going to do big things with my life, and Michelle is the smart one, and Michelle's the honor roll kid. And so from a young age, I was okay, I know I'm going to go to university because that's just what you do. And I remember about grade 12, I started to really feel depression. And at the time, I didn't know what the heck depression was, and I was too stubborn to tell anybody that I was feeling so down because I was the achiever of the family. And I remember in grade 12, I think back to it, I'm like, how the heck did I do everything I did? Full school, where I worked 30 hours a week in grade 12. I used to work out. I was on the cross country team for a while. And I think that's around the time of my life when I started to really realize this scripted way of being and this high achieving way of life really wasn't filling my cup. Mm-hmm. But I was too stubborn to admit it to myself. And so I went off to university to be a teacher because that was like planted in my brain at a young age that I was going to go like be something and have this defined job title. And I remember within a week of being at university, I was like, oh my God, I hate it here. Mm-hmm. I hate it here. And I don't even know why I'm here. I don't like the atmosphere. I don't like the pressure. I don't like living in dorms. And I remember being deeply depressed and not admitting it to myself and going through school and just going through the motions and just squeaking by and like getting like C pluses, you know, just because I was like, well, I have to pass. I've enrolled and I got to be something because if I don't go through university, I'm never going to be anything in life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of what the beginning of my life was, is this way I was supposed to be and all this stuff that was deeply ingrained in me. Mm-hmm. And aside from all of that, I have this real like fire in me and this real like F you attitude. And there's the disclaimer right there we need to insert about, I love to speak in colorful language, but I'm toning it down today. And I was always squashing that. And I never really could admit to myself that I wasn't living my truth and that it was inauthentic for so many years of my life. And inside, I remember feeling angry. I was angry all the time. I was ticked off at people. I always was just like on the inside. And on the outside, when I was 18, I looked 12. And so, you know, it's just, I felt this inauthentic life of people assuming I was going to follow this like certain path. And like on the inside, I was dying inside. I was depressed. I was angry. And I just could never really understand what it was about and what was going on there.
And so what was the turning point for you that this started to shift and you started to really realize you wanted to make some changes?
For me, I actually remember it was the summer of, and there's so much more in between this, but I remember it was the summer that I was 20 years old and I had just sort of squeaked by third year university, sort of kind of hating it, but maybe sort of showing up. And I remember I got a summer job as a house painter. And I remember for the first time in my life, I was like, this is something different. This is something new. And then I learned that I could manage my own business. And all of a sudden I felt like the clouds opened up and the sun came through. And there was just something about being in the driver's seat and doing whatever the heck I wanted and accomplishing whatever the heck I wanted that wasn't like a brick and mortar, like according to like societals, you know, like everything that I had been taught was right in this world. And I felt like finally I was like, oh, I can do what I want and I can like use all this energy and like get rewarded for it and like make money and like do as well as I want. And I'm not like in the confines of a classroom feeling lost. I felt like the clouds burst open. And I remember the day that I learned about that. I remember I was in a bad relationship at the time. And I remember coming home after learning about that and phoning him up and telling him about it. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying to me, you could never do that. You're too stupid. I know. I went to bed and honestly, I was just like, that is enough of that. And I phoned him the next day and ended it. And that was enough of that. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, it was almost like I realized I was an entrepreneur. I realized I was like, holy, I can't have a boss. I can't be told what to do because when I'm trapped and I feel like I'm in jail, when somebody is dictating my life, what time I have to be to school, what time I have to work, what time this, what time that, I felt like I was in jail. Like even to this day, I rebel against scheduled stuff. I hate it.
And so what brought you to the point of discovering that you wanted to work in fitness and wellness?
Well, that's a whole other can of worms too, because after I left that role where I climbed what I call the corporate ladder and I worked my way up, I had a ton of freedom. But again, it was like super high pressured and like key performance indicators and all of that in place. And in that role, yes, I could achieve what I wanted, but it was, you know, I felt pressurized extremely. And I managed to do the best in the company in North America. And that defined me for a long time. And after that ended, when I was in my mid-20s, I kind of crashed. And I was like, okay, now what? Like, I'm not defined by this like high achieving person in the company. And they were grooming me to move up and grooming me for like a high level, like running half of Canada. And I remember after that was over, I was like, okay, I'm going to go travel. I'm going to escape for a while. And I thought what would happen in that escape is that I would discover some like new bursting open of the clouds thing that I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. And I was lost for a few years. And my husband and I lived in the UK at the time and traveled around. And I ended up enrolling in a master's program, again, more schooling. And mm-hmm. I hated it. I hated mm-hmm. it. And then was really lost. And then we moved back to Canada after living abroad for a few years. And again, I was lost. And again, I went back to the default of schooling. Mm-hmm. And I did a master's degree to completion and ended up being like top of the class, like 4.0 GPA, because that achiever in me came out. Mm-hmm. And when the whole thing finished, so what I was is I was a registered clinical counselor. And I was like, 1 millimeter from opening my own practice. I had everything ready, website, credentials, like business cards, all the registration in place, everything set. And I was like, man, this does not excite me. I'm going to be stuck in billable hours and I'm going to be stuck mm-hmm. in meetings again, helping mm-hmm. people through really dark times. And mm-hmm. I realized I don't do well in a place where I have to help people who are in a super dark place, because I have so much more fire in me mm-hmm. to like be a motivator and an influencer in a positive way. And so at that time, I still really realized I was entrepreneurial, because there was part of me that was still like starting my own thing and doing all that. Mm-hmm. But that still, that niggle in me was like, I don't want to be on a schedule. I want to work when I have the energy to work. And so mm-hmm. I saw my friend running this business online, and she reached out to me, and the skeptic of all skeptics, I had 100,000 questions. And then I really realized like, holy crap, I can make this whatever I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's how becoming a virtual fitness influencer came out, is like the freedom to do whatever I want, but still earn money and work when I have the energy, you know, and mm-hmm. I can honor that energy. Like that's a really important thing, mm-hmm. which we could talk about later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so how long did it take then? I guess you started your business in 2016.
Yeah.
So in that time frame, how did you make that switch? Because that's obviously, I think, something a lot of our listeners may be feeling. What do I do? I've done all this education. I know I was like that. I had been in corporate for 14 years. And it was like, this is what I've always known. This is what all, you know, what you think, all my training has led up to this. And how am I going to pivot? And how am I going to do something different? But how did you sort of get yourself unstuck and start making steps towards this?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I'm really known for being authentic. But if you saw me in the first 6 months of my business, so different, like so different. And so when I started in my business, I started by following people that were doing really well. Mm-hmm. And people that I admired, and they were like top of the company. And I was like, okay, I need to be like this to be successful. Right. And like, mm-hmm. and so I started by emulating the people that were doing well, but not really paying attention to, geez, like if I met that person on the street, would I relate with them? Would we have a lot in common? Would I be able to swear every second word in the sentences mm-hmm. I speak to them? Probably not. Like, and so I made that error in the first bit of thinking I had to be liked and mm-hmm. thinking that I had to be a certain way. And I was really stuck in that for a really long time. And it wasn't working. It wasn't working for my business either. And so how I started to make that shift is I started to stop and listen to myself mm-hmm. in moments. And I think that's where people might miss, is I have to stop and I have to say, okay, moments when I feel fired up, what is going on right then? What mm-hmm. is firing me up? Moments when I feel like I could explode like a volcano of passion about something, those are the keys. Those are the moments when I've really realized, because I've been asked that before many times, like, how do you let that like freak flag fly, Michelle? And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, here's how I let the freak flag fly. I stop and I listen. When are the moments that I'm ticked off? Like, when are those moments? And what is it that I'm mad about? Okay, that is a window to my soul, because I need to mm-hmm. speak that. Mm-hmm. And when are those moments when I'm laughing my head off? And how do people respond to that when I'm like that? And how do people describe me? asking people how they describe me and thinking about friends that I've had forever. Like, what do they really value about me? They value when I speak off the cuff and I'm quirky and crazy. And I'm like, that's who I have to be, because those are the people that I want in my life, or the people that love me for who I am. And so it's taking the time to stop and listen to who am I really in real life? And when do I feel like most at home with myself and my most authentic self? And really coming to terms with that and going, I need to speak in that language. And I need to talk online how I talk to people. And so that's what I've really had to stop and listen. Like, those moments when that volcano is going to erupt, what's going on beneath the surface for me?
Two things you made me think of. One, I just couldn't get it out of my head of Zoolander staring into the puddle. Who am I? You just really made me think of that. And
I've never seen Zoolander. Maybe I should
now. Oh my gosh. It's so good. I just watched it the other day. I mean, I've seen it many times before, but it just reminded me. And anyways, you got to see it. So good. The other thing that is just such a golden nugget that I think really helps simplify things. So that's what I'm all about. If I met this person on the street, would I have anything in common with them? I think what you do such a great job of is you don't give people that gray feeling of, I don't really know how we'd get along. It's like either, yeah, we do, a hell yeah, or a hell no. It's not anything in the middle. And I think that that is a really cool and simplistic way to think about it. If you're going to show up exactly as yourself, someone's going to meet you on the street in that short, brief time frame. What the heck do they need to know about you to know if it's a hell yeah or if it's a hell no?
If it's a duck and run or give me a hug.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually have a very defining moment that I could share.
Yeah, I'd love that.
It was actually October of 2018. And it was Canadian Thanksgiving. And this one rocked me for a couple days, like really rocked me. Mm-hmm. I posted a photo being absolutely myself. Jared and I, my husband, we'd gone into a Walmart. And I was like, I love everybody for wherever they're at. Like, I don't care if you have 300 pounds to lose. However, like, I don't care. Like, I don't judge you that way. I just see you as a person, you know? So I was just being my silly self. And we went to the jeans section and I picked up a really large pair of jeans and I held them up and I was like, I'm going to do a really funny Thanksgiving pants post about this. Right. And so I put up this post of myself holding this pair of pants because it was Canadian Thanksgiving. And I was like, so I can't even remember the wording. It was something about Canadian Thanksgiving and like, can't wait to wear my Thanksgiving pants or something. And then totally me, right? Like, I was like, I'm just an ass like that. I just like to be silly. That's my part of my brand, is just absolutely goofy, silly. And so I remember putting that up and getting a huge backlash about saying that I was making fun of overweight people when that was so far from my intention. My intention was like, I'm going to need these because all I'm going to do is eat tomorrow. And I remember like it getting screenshotted and shared around. I remember getting messages about people saying, take this post down because people are talking. And I remember stopping and having to go, whoa, am I really doing this? Do I really like, and I had to go, no, I did not mean ill harm. I didn't apologize for it. And I remember having to seriously like give my head a shake. And I remember like multiple people unfriending me and I was just like, that's okay. Yeah. And I remember more people coming to bat for me. I remember my people that understood me and understood that I'm like so genuine and so mean the best coming to bat for me and saying like, well done for sticking to your ground on this one. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm not taking it down because this is who I am. I don't have any ill meaning. And that's for me when I know I'm like, I'm being my authentic self and nobody's going to tell me what I can say or cannot say. And it's one of those turning moments where I'm just like, nope. And I remember thinking to myself, it was actually a guy who came and told me he didn't like it. And I remember thinking, you know what, if I saw you in the street, I could look you in the eyes because I am being myself and I know I don't mean any harm. And if I saw anybody who was giving me trouble about that, I could look them in the eyes too. So that was a big one for me. It rocked me for a while when I had to be like, is it okay to speak my language? Is it okay to be outspoken? I'm like, yep, it is. Because some people, whoever is not going to like you is going to go the other way. And what I love about it is all it does is it brings the more your tribe to you. And I've found that with my people that I'm working with now too. And I sometimes have to say, just so you know, you're religious and I'm cool with you. You be you, but just so you know, I swear sometimes. Mm-hmm. Are you okay with that? They're like, oh yeah, you swear. I'm like, okay, good. Cause I'm not going to stop.
Yeah. It's so funny. Not the same magnitude of your story, but I had a post I did the other day and it was just something short and cheeky and to the point. And you know, the final words were like, tricked ya, B, but I didn't use the word
B. I saw that.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I never had this happen before, but I was talking to my dad and he was, oh, so I saw your post the other day. And he was talking about a couple of the comments on it and this and that. And he was like, you know, do you think that that is okay to put out there? And I was like, Dad, if somebody read that and was, oh my gosh, she can make money in the fitness industry and blah, 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 and they were offended, please unfriend me before I need to find you and unfriend you. Let's get this over with and make this easy. And he just laughed about it. But I just thought there's so many people out there that, you know, we struggle. We struggle with what will our mother-in-law think and what will our great aunt think and this and that. And I totally get that. And at the same time, that same sort of idea, I could easily say to my dad, I don't need anyone following me that doesn't like my vibe. Cause I'm not going to tone that down to make someone else feel comfortable. I'm really not. I spent too many years doing that. So I think it's, yeah, it's just such an important message behind why you need to do that. And so maybe you can tell us a little bit more. So after this discovering that, okay, this post happens, maybe I need to lean into this. How did that sort of happen? What did you start doing to really fully lean into that?
I remember in the couple weeks after that, I was so surprised at how much that one rocked me. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because I was super misunderstood that really bothered me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that they were disagreeing with me. It was that I was super misunderstood. And so what I did following that is I did a ton of posts that I was like even more opinionated. Mm-hmm. I just came back with a vengeance. I was like, nah. And I was even like, you don't like me? Like, goodbye. I came back with more of a vengeance because of it. I was like, no, I have two choices at this point. I can cower back. I can let other people tell me what to say, or I can just lean in and be more of myself. I saw it as a fork in the road is what I saw. And I was like, nah, I'm taking the scenic route and I'm being my dang self and putting that freak flag up, because if I don't do that now, I am never going to succeed in this business. And I'm always going to feel like a shell of myself. Mm-hmm. I did a ton of live videos about it too. Talked about how people can't tell you what to do and what to think and haters. Mm-hmm. And it was great. Mm-hmm.
And so what were the things that started to happen in your business when you started to do more of this?
It made me mad, to be honest. I was mad, and it actually put more fuel on my fire. I was just like, nah, you tell me who to be and then I'm going to go like accomplish some goals. So I actually remember shortly after that, I was like, okay, here's this goal I'm going to go for and I'm going to nail it. It almost puts fuel on my fire in a way. What happened for me is I was like, nope, I'm going to take this energy and I'm going to channel it into something big I want to accomplish. And then what that does is it just absolutely reaffirms that I just need to be myself.
Well, it's interesting because you had said being an achiever as a kid. So this ties that in, right? Going back to that achiever mode, but it's like you just change the environment from, you know, this people telling you what to do. I'm just going to tell myself what to do here in this entrepreneurial role built on your own terms. And it's the perfect storm for creating everything that you've wanted.
So interesting. I feel like I'm sitting on the therapist couch, actually. Now that you say it, I'm like, whoa, that's so interesting, because my default when things are not going well in my life is I'm going to go accomplish something, you know? It's interesting that you say that, but it's, you know, it's for me, it's not a scripted, this is how I'm going to be now. It's a, I'm going to go accomplish it for me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we all have these, you know, connecting the dots earlier about we all have these defaults that feel safe. And it's just knowing where to channel those, because we all have them, right? We all have these things that we just love to do. And, you know, I remember days of presenting. I used to do a bunch of sales training and management training when I was working for a fitness company. And I loved it. I loved the ability to like tell stories, to make jokes, and to say things probably that were not necessarily offside per se, but to make it funny so that people would remember it and that story would stick. But that channel that I was putting it into, companies that really didn't have that goal of really changing, especially when, you know, you're not a VP of that inner circle. So having that thing, you know, for me, it was being able to teach, but where I was channeling it was not building on the business of my dreams. So it's really interesting that when you can figure out what that thing is, you love to do it, fills your cup. And for you, that, you know, achievement and, you know, just getting to that next level, but then channel it in the right direction, because any energy pushed, even if it's great energy and we know that there's a love at the bottom of it, if it's not pushed in the right direction, there's no guarantee there of success. But man, you get that thing on the right rails and you can accomplish anything, no matter what it is.
That is so interesting what you just said, actually. Again, it feels like a therapy session. I'm just like, oh, I'm learning so much. It's really interesting because whenever you bump up against your values, whenever there's like one of those times where that whole thing about the Thanksgiving pants really bumped up against my values, when I was like, oh, people can't tell me who I am. Like, no, people can't tell me what to do. That, like, that really bumped up against my values. And you're so right. Like, I had a choice in that time what to do with that energy. And I think what a lot of people do, and what I see a lot of people do and people that I coach now, is that they take that energy and they spiral downwards, you know, and they don't take that energy and use it for the good. Yeah. Because there's always going to be that, like when your values are bumped up against, it's going to create that heat, that volcanic like eruption, right? And you got to let it erupt and then put it in the right place.
Yeah.
So right. So right.
Yeah. I love this analogy when I think about your values. If you feel resonance, and this can be with someone, it can be with a company, it can be with the dream of entrepreneurship, whatever it is, you really resonate towards that. It's telling you your values are in line. And when you feel dissonance, this feels icky. Why do I like get these vibes from this person or this job or something? Your values aren't in alignment. So one of my favorite sayings is like, stop trying to hustle, align, like stop trying to be in the grind. Sometimes it makes me really angry when I, you know, I hear people say that, you know, about you just got to work harder. You just got to do this. Cause I'm just, dude, there are a lot of people that are working so hard, but they're pushing the wrong ruck up the wrong mountain. And if it was just over here, they'd be wildly successful. So it's not always, for some people, yeah, it is about the hustle. You just, you know, but for most people, they wake up in the morning and they have such good intention of, you know, following their dreams, but they're not pushing up the right mountain. And if you can just align that, man, you're unstoppable when that potential is lined up properly.
Interesting. So true, you know, and if you're absolutely a stubborn workaholic, like I was in my previous roles, I pushed the rock up the mountain anyway and hated every minute of it. But I was way too driven to succeed that I just kept pushing that rock. And finally, when it came time to leave, I just about ran out of there, you know?
Yeah, there's something in those things, I think, sometimes that we keep up, that there's fulfillment that's coming, but it's at a cost.
Oh, and, such a cost. Such a
you
cost.
Know, but I think that gut feel, I think a lot of people ignore it, because I know I was one of those people working at these various gym companies. And, you know, of course, there's this in the corporate world, there's a lot of talk about, you know, people come to the gym because they're like, I want work-life balance. I don't want to work weekends. I want this, I want that. And, you know, a lot of these companies are, yeah, okay. And then it's the complete opposite of that. So I remember feeling that uncomfortableness of, why aren't we following through on what we say here? But just feeling like this is just the way it is. I got to stay stuck here. And I remember just sort of allowing different bosses and people to sort of tell me that, you know, this is the way it is, or this is your potential, you know, the bad boyfriends, the bad bosses. And you have a choice in that moment, whether you believe it too, or you decide, oh, hell no, that's not what I'm going to also partake in. And I think, you know, for myself, there were a lot of times that I started what their negative self-talk was. I took that on for myself. But I think that what is incredible about your story is you just had that intuition that, no, this isn't right. And you just went with that gut instinct, which I think is exemplified in how you show up. That gut instinct and that intuition, it just seems it's super high on that scale of visibility for you. So it's incredible to be able to take that action, see it as a fork in the road, and make that decision.
So interesting what you say about intuition, because I never really honored that for a long time. Like, I was very much in my head, and I never used to trust my gut and my heart. Like, and I was listening actually to Oprah's podcast, and she was talking about how there was this, it was a podcast about women's safety, and it was talking about how women who have been sexually assaulted, how they actually know in their gut before they get into a sticky situation that it's not good, but we're polite and we don't want to seem impolite. And we don't, and she talked about how this woman worked in a clothing store. I'm really honestly going somewhere with this because it hit home so hard for me. She talked about how this woman who worked in a clothing store after hours, and she was closing up and the door was locked, and there was a man who came and tapped on the glass of the store and asked her to come in, and her gut told her, no way, I don't know why this man would want in the store. And he somehow convinced her that he needed to come in. And her polite, her head, her logic said, be polite. Her gut was like, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Don't let this man in. But we're trained to be polite. Especially as women, we are trained to be polite and not offend people. She let the man into the store. He took her in the back and he raped her. In that moment, I was like, oh, Michelle, you listen to your gut. I was like, that has been coming out more and more and more. And it's funny because you're taking me back to those moments just throughout my business when I've had those times when I can become more authentic. It's me going, listen. And for me, I call it my volcano. Listen to that volcano. What's really going on for you right now? Honor it. Don't be polite, Michelle. Don't just be polite to please people. Like, honor who you are. And what is that intuition saying right now? And I think back to that Oprah episode. It was so powerful about how we have that gut instinct. And we need to honor it and trust it. What is our gut saying right now? That's a bit of a portal to our authenticity.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm a huge crime junkie. I listen to a lot of stuff. I'm just showing Michelle right now that I'm in the fan club for Crime Junkie.
You watch Forensic Files?
I don't know. I like the authentic stuff. I've heard about Forensic Files, but this Crime Junkie podcast, I don't know. It's two girls, their storytelling, the way that they explain, I can't get enough of it. I really enjoy it. I'm a connect the dots type of person where I look at certain scenarios, try to understand what was happening there, what led to that. So this is one of my outlets, is listening to crime podcasts. But one of their sayings is, it's stay alert, stay rude, and stay weird. And it's about that you've got to have, you know, your intuition up and just be aware at all times, you know, that it's okay to be that way. Cause you're so right. It's like the first time, you know, when we're kids, right? A lot of this stuff comes from when we're children. The first time you're told no, or no, 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 don't do it that way, or don't be rude, use your manners. We're told this stuff. It gets cemented in because we're impressionable. It's at that age before, you know, we learn, oh, what are the social standards and how should we be? And it's definitely something that a lot of, I'm going to say women here, I know there's men out there that, you know, have this as well, but it's something that if you're not aware of, your brain is like a computer. So it's just going to run an autopilot in the background and direct your decisions if you're not aware of it. It's a really interesting thing to tap into. And I love that slant of how you use it for good in how you show up and how you show up online. So what advice would you give someone if they're like, Michelle, you're blowing my mind. Everything you've said today is gold. How should I get started? What are one or two things that I can do to start moving more in that direction of, you know, really being definite of what I'm putting out there so that I'm attracting my people and repelling, I don't know if that's the right word, but the people that aren't for me are getting that vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, because the last thing you want is to have somebody that you're working with and you start working with them and then it's so awkward, you know, because it's like, I can't be myself. So for me, actually, something that I've done my whole life, actually since the age of 12, is keep a journal. And I have a stack of journals, I kid you not, in the top of my closet that if I stack them like all on top of each other, it would probably be 2 feet high.
Wow.
Like masses. And like the stuff I wrote when I was 14 is absolute malarkey. But what it did is it got me into the habit of capturing my authentic feelings. And so what I would do is I would sit down and I would write at the end of the day, more so as a teen, and just write about things and capture my feelings. And that's what I've had the habit of doing, is sitting down and I journal and really capture some of that stuff, particularly in times when I'm frustrated or upset or really feel high as a kite, motivated for life, right? Those are the times to really capture some of that stuff that's going on. And so I started this thing actually this summer that's really helped me even clarify my personal brand more too. And so I bought a journal and I call the journal my morning pages. And it's in my bedside table and I have a special pen. So I like purple pens. So I use a purple pen. So it's a joy to open up a page. And so I say to myself, Michelle, just write for 10 minutes. And it's harder for me now because I don't feel like I need that outlet as much, but it's really, really great when I'm having a struggle or a tough time to be in that habit of just open up, just write freely for 5 to 10 minutes, see what you capture. And it is beautiful what you capture in those times, just beautiful. And especially I call it morning pages because in that moment when you wake up in the morning before you do anything, I mean, obviously get up to pee and maybe get a drink of water, but immediately sit down and make that 5 minutes for yourself to write for 5 minutes and you will capture some golden nuggets that are in your subconscious and maybe something you just dreamed about where you're like, oh my God. So that would be a good piece of advice to start with.
Yeah, I love that. I always recommend keeping, I have a couple of different notebooks and files on my phone and computer. If ever I see something that I totally resonate with, you know, it's funny, inspiration can come in the weirdest places. I find comedians, they always have these analogies and I'm like, whoa, knocked it out of the park. Sometimes the stuff they've written is just incredible, but it can come from TV shows or songs, song lyrics. And I find also capturing those things that really hit you, that can be, when you go through those, it's one for copywriting purposes. It's so cool to have all those examples that really hit you. It's when you sit down to write, sometimes it's hard to think about those, remember all of them, but that's sort of a good way to like trigger anything that you're, whoa, that really hit me in the feels when I heard that last time.
You just reminded me of something and I'm really glad because you got right to my second point. I was going to be like, capture stuff. So I capture stuff constantly. I'm constantly screenshotting stuff. I'm constantly using the notes in my phone. And I'm like, if that makes me laugh, my people will laugh at that too. And so I'm every day on my social media, putting something out there that is like pee your pants funny, like funny, funny stuff. And so I'm constantly documenting too. And so I have kind of my crushes that I follow online, women that speak my language, like women that I'm like, if I saw you in person, we'd be BFFs in like 5 seconds. Like we would just get each other.
Yeah.
And so I follow those people and I save their posts all the time and I save them in libraries. So I have inspiration. And also it gives me permission to be myself in those moments when I'm really doubting it. I'm like, nah, this woman's awesome. She said it. I can say it too. Just like, you know, and so it gives me that, like that freedom, right? You're so right about capturing stuff. I probably have 500 screenshots in my phone.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that. Cause then too, when you're surrounded by that stuff, it just feels like it's natural to share it. It just makes the whole process so much easier.
Yeah. Comedians are so right. Hey, like I kind of feel like I'm a closet comedian sometimes.
Yeah, I
kind of feel like that. I'm like, really? Like if I was given the mic in front of like 50,000 people, like I want to say stuff that's not politically correct and that would be my platform.
Yeah, exactly. And so I know that this is just another exemplification of you just do you. So I know that you're not on Instagram. Facebook is your jam. So where can people find you if they want to follow you, reach out? Where's the best place for them to do that?
I just have to laugh because the fact that you said you're not on Instagram because it's just being you, and people always give me crap. You're not on Instagram. What's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't care. So Facebook, you can find my page. So it's just Sweaty Betty Fitness. You'll find me there. So not Sweaty Betty's. I'm Sweaty Betty Fitness. And then of course, a website that's very easy to remember, sweatybettyfitness.com.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much, Michelle, for your time today. I'm so excited for everyone to hear this episode because there's so many gold nuggets.
I can't wait to listen back and hear what I actually said.
Oh yeah. Some great
Thank you,
stuff.
Ashley.
Oh yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Social Selling Simplified. Now, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, because you never know when there's going to be a guest or a topic that absolutely changes your business and changes your life. I'd also love for you to leave us an honest review that we can definitely be in touch with what you want to hear more of and what topics are really making an impact in your business. Now, if you want to take it a step further, there is an awesome quiz that we've put together to help you understand what you need to do to grow your social selling business. Now, when you go to ashleyshaw.ca/quiz, you're going to be able to discover the biggest priorities in your business, how to remove roadblocks, and hone in on where to spend your time and create the social selling business of your dreams. And that's at ashleyshaw.ca/quiz. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Social Selling Simplified.